Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here. Today, we are going to be studying our lifestyle article for the month of December, and we have a very interesting article for all of you. The title of our article is Clothing Maintenance, and the deck says Tips for Protecting the Investment You Have in Your Clothes and Shoes. Now, that's really interesting. I don't usually think of my clothes and shoes as an investment, but, you know, it is true. We do put money into buying these things, so we should learn how to take care of them better. So, before we get into our article, though, I would love to introduce my friends in the studio with me. To my right, I have Pauline. How are you today, Pauline?
Doing great. Looking forward to another interesting article with you guys.
Yeah. Now, Pauline, do you take care of your clothes and shoes?
After reading this article, I'd have to say no, not to the degree that they're talking.
All right. And we also have Albert here. Hi, Albert.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be here.
Albert, you are quite a fashion-forward gentleman.
Oh, thank you.
Now, do you take care of your clothes and shoes?
Not to the degree that I expected I should be.
Right.
You know, just to, like, basic care. Mm-hmm. But this is really extreme, and I feel like it's really helpful as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, as I was reading through this article, I was like, wow, yeah, these are good tips and things I never actually thought about, you know, but things I should probably start looking into.
I'm comforted to hear that you guys felt the same way.
Yeah, because I think, you know, and our article talks a little bit about this, is just we don't look at our clothes and shoes the way people used to, you know, because in the past, it was like, it was hard to get clothes and hard to get shoes, and they weren't easy to come by. And so if you had a pair of shoes, you took really good care of them, right? And if you had a shirt, you did your best to keep it clean and, you know, to do what you needed to do to make sure you got, you know, the lasting wear of it, right? So we kind of lost a little bit of that as time has gone on and as things have developed and as, you know, it's been more and more convenient for us to get new things, you know. And I think it's not just clothes and shoes. I think with a lot of things, you know, our electronics or machines, it used to be where things break down, you'd bring them to the repair shop. Now things break down, you just throw them out and get a new one, right? And so, you know, it creates a lot of waste and a lot of trash. And so what are some ways that we can take care of our investments? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get started with our article, page 26 of our magazine. So if you do have a magazine or your mobile device, please do join us. And we're going to start at the top of the page.
Clothing maintenance. Tips for protecting the investment you have in your clothes and shoes. We don't care for our clothes and accessories the way we used to. There was a time when clothing and footwear were so precious that they were protected against the elements and minor tears were repaired expediently. No matter how much you paid for something, you should expect it to require a little upkeep. We asked experts for suggestions on what you should and shouldn't bother stocking at home.
All right, so the title of our article is Clothing Maintenance. What are we talking about when we talk about maintenance?
We're talking about taking care of something, making sure that you're maintaining it well, so hopefully it will last longer.
Right, and many buildings have a maintenance department or a maintenance man or woman, right? And their job is to maintain the building, as you were saying, to keep the building running well.
Or we often refer to car maintenance as well,
right?
Needing to get your car checked up and making sure it's working well.
Yeah.
It takes some maintenance.
Yes. We don't often think about clothing maintenance, right? And I love the deck here. It says tips for protecting the investment you have in your clothes and shoes. Do you guys look at your clothes and shoes as an investment?
Not very often.
Right.
Yeah, there are a few pieces of clothing that I've had in my life that I spent a little extra on. I was thinking I had a pair of dance shoes. I used to be really into salsa dancing, uh-huh. so I spent over $100 on a pair of fancy dance shoes. And actually, the couple tips that I have used from this were for those shoes because they were special shoes, and I bought a special brush for them.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't spend that much money on my clothing, so then I don't think of it as an investment.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Albert?
You know, after, like, reading this article and thinking about it, I guess not as much as I should be. They are an investment. I feel like nowadays we've been conditioned and driven to, like, oh, you know, stay up to date with the latest fashion.
Right.
Hey, there's all this convenience to have clothes delivered to your house, your front door, and also discounts, they sell discounts, massive discounts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, going that extra step and protecting and taking care of what you have purchased, I feel like it also makes you cherish it more.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep your shoes clean, I feel like you'll be like, you'll be happier with it.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, we'll create less waste.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I was younger, I was very driven by consumerism. I think I would buy something new probably every week, you know. It took a long time for me to fight against that, you know, and to kind of get over that of that net need to buy something new all the time, and to just appreciate what I had, you know, and to realize, you know, I might feel like I really want this shirt or these pants right now, but in a week, 2 weeks, when something else new comes along, this is just going to be stuck somewhere in my closet, you know, and to really cherish the things that I spent money on, right? And our article starts off saying, we don't care for our clothes and accessories the way we used to. There was a time when clothing and footwear were so precious that they were protected against the elements and minor tears were repaired expediently. What do you guys think about this paragraph? Do you think that's true?
Oh, I think it's definitely true. We definitely are a product of our generation that has, as we've talked about, clothing so readily available, we don't cherish it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, and I think even still in some poor countries where just the financial resources aren't there as much, you see people really spending a lot of time and effort to make sure that their clothing lasts against the elements. I liked that phrase, against the elements, usually refers to natural elements like wind and rain.
Yeah.
But you could also maybe in this sense be thinking of scuffing or just the natural wear and tear. People are going to go to some extra work to try and protect it from that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I do try to get the most out of my shoes. If my sole has worn down, I will just bring it to the repair shop. I'm not necessarily going to throw away my shoes because usually I do spend more money on my shoes, and I do appreciate having a shoe repairman in our neighborhood. I do want to draw the word to the word tear, T-E-A-R, you know, it looks like the word tear, and when I was reading it, I almost read tear, but it's actually tear here. So a tear is a rip. You know, you might get some tears in your clothes as you go throughout your day, or children might get tears as they play outside. And they were repaired expediently, which is a good word. What does that word mean, expediently?
I just mean swiftly, quickly, in a timely fashion.
That's right. So very soon, very quickly. All right. So no matter how much you paid for something, you might only spend, you know, a few hundred NT on something. Or if you might spend a couple of thousand NT on something, right? How much you paid for something, you should expect it to require a little upkeep. And that makes sense, right? The normal wear and tear of wearing things, right? You might get stains, you might get rips. You need to take care of the things, okay? So here are some suggestions on what you should and shouldn't bother stocking at home. All right, so what are some things that we can prepare at home to help us do some of these maintenance or repairs? Let's look at some tips right now. Okay, we have some things for clothing. All right, we have a checklist here. It's a list of things that you can prepare that will help you to mend and take care of your clothes.
clothing checklist. Measuring tape. You might think you'll never need this if you don't sew, but it's cheap and comes in handy. If you shop online, you'll need to know your inseam or the circumference of your waist, arm, or calf. Quick fix tape strips. These are temporary, removable tape strips for fixing everyday problems, like a revealing gap between shirt buttons, a collar that needs to be immobilized, or a hem that falls and you don't have time to repair it. Thread. Get a few basic colors, including black, but look for quality threads. Cheap thread kits are fine in a pinch, but getting extra strong button craft thread will go a long way. Safety and straight pins. They're so cheap and so handy. If you just save the ones that occasionally come on tags with your clothing, you might have all you need.
All right, so we have a checklist here of things that you can prepare at home for some fixes that you might need to do with your clothes. So what is the first item that is recommended?
Well, the first thing that they recommend is measuring tape.
Yeah, so a measuring tape, there are different types of measuring tape. You might have measuring tape that you use for construction, and that's usually kind of metal or something harder. Measuring tape that you use for sewing or for clothes is usually softer.
Mm-hmm. Usually it's made out of fabric, I believe, and something you roll up and then you unroll it when you need to use it.
And the article says you might think you'll never need this if you don't sew, and that's true. A lot of people don't necessarily sew, and they so don't think they'll ever need to measure a body, but it is handy, right? It does come in handy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of these items that are listed, they have a duality to it. You know, it's like you can use it for other things. You know, you can use it around the house to measure furniture size when you go browsing for something. And it's also always handy to know your measurements when you're clothes shopping, even in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really helpful. So a lot of these tools, like, I don't have them, but I feel like I should go pick them up because I can use them other than for clothing maintenance or upkeep.
Yeah, for sure. So measuring tape is definitely something good to have. It doesn't cost a lot, and mm-hmm. it comes in handy. This means it's useful, especially if you shop online, because a lot of times you don't know how you're not able to try the clothes on when you see the picture online. So you need to know what size to buy, right? And different stores have different sizing. One store that has a S or a small might be different than another store's S or small, you know, and different countries have different sizes. So it's good to have that tape so you know the size of your body, and, you know, and it's okay to be, you know, to realize how big or small you are, whatever. Just accept yourself for who you are, right? So you'll need to know your inseam. What is the inseam?
Well, the inseam is the measurement on the inside of the pant leg.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really crucial, especially if you get a really nice pair of pants mm-hmm. or if you're getting tailored suits
right.
for, like, the office or workspace. You really need to know the measurements all around.
Right. Yeah, so usually when you're buying pants, whether in a store or online, there's different ways to measure, right? Sometimes the basic one is, you know, small, medium, large, mm-hmm. right? And then there's more specific, right? The inseam, you need to know how long your pants need to be, right? So how long your legs are will determine how long your pants are. And the other determining factor for your pants is the circumference of your waist. So how wide your waist is around.
Now, I haven't ever had to do the inseam measurement, at least that I remember, but the circumference measurement and having a measuring tape, those things are ones that definitely apply to me as a mm-hmm. woman. I know there's a couple different times that I've been in weddings where, at least in the United States, if you're a bridesmaid, then mm-hmm. usually everybody has to wear the same dress.
Right.
And if you're not all living in the same place, usually you order them online.
Yeah.
So then you take out the measuring tape, take that, put that around your waist,
right.
find out what those measurements are so that you don't end up in a dress that looks terrible because it doesn't fit right.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you need to measure your chest and your arm and your mm-hmm. calf, things like that. So, you know, measuring tape does come in handy. A little tip, if you don't have a measuring tape and you maybe you're in a store, you don't really want to have to go to try on some pants, the the length of your arm between your wrist and your elbow is about the width of your waist, right? So if you kind of put your arm into the pant, if it fits between your wrist and your waist, then you're it's pretty close. Or you can measure it around your neck, right? So you can kind of pull the pants flat and then wrap the pants around your neck, the waist around your neck. And that gives you about a good estimate of if the pants will fit.
Interesting.
Just some little tips there. All right, so what is number two, Albert?
Number two is you should get quick fix tape strips.
That's right. So what are quick fix tape strips?
Well, I've never used these before, but apparently they are tape strips that you can take on and off, and you can use them to basically tape your clothes to you exactly where you want it to be. So one of the examples they said was for a collar that needs to be immobilized. So immobilized meaning not, you don't want it to move. You want it to be set in a particular spot. You can use this tape to stick it there.
Right. Or a revealing gap between shirt buttons. You know, maybe you've put on a few pounds, you know, and so when you put on that shirt, that button-down shirt, you know, there's a little gap that starts to peek through between the buttons. Well, you want to close that up? You can use this tape. Or you can fix a hem that falls. The hem is just the, you know, just the bottom edge of your pants or your skirt. And sometimes that hem is sewed. And maybe sometimes when the stitches come out, you need to fix that real quick. You can use this tape to tape it up. All right. We also need some thread, right? So what are the tips here about the thread?
Well, I mean, you should always get a basic color. When we say basic, something that is like essential or the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. So black is always a safe color.
Right.
It goes well with a lot of things.
Yes.
And so you want quality threads, you know, because you don't want to fix something. You take the time and effort and then a day later it just rips apart.
Right.
Right. So you want quality threads and threading and like tape. You don't need specifically quick fix tape. You can just use regular tape. All these things are pretty low cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how to sew, Albert?
I do. Is it beautiful? No. It's like a patchwork of just thread that just vomited or something onto my clothes. It's not pretty. It's in a pinch, it would work.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody, you know, basic skills. How do you sew on a button? I think that's just something everybody should know how to do.
Right. And, I mean, with YouTube nowadays, you can always learn.
That's true.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And we have one last thing in this section, safety and straight pins.
Yes. And this is one that I always have a lot of. I find safety pins to be so useful for so many things. It's on my list of things to always bring when I travel, whether that's a small trip or a big trip. So I always have them on my bags because...
Right.
I've just had so many times where something has ripped like a strap to my bag or a strap to my shoe that I don't have a second one.
Right.
And safety pins have been a lifesaver for me. So when it comes to just like a really quick fix, I think they're amazing. And then obviously they also have some more precise uses for repairing and doing sewing.
Right. Oh, okay. You know, when I travel, I bring super glue. That's a little too permanent. I feel like I'm going to start using safety pins.
Yes, safety pins. And straight pins. Straight pins are just the ones that are straight, right? And they, you know, come in you know, a lot of times when, at least with men, when we buy dress shirts, they come with the straight pins, right? And those, you know, you just keep those and you'll have plenty to use in case you need to ever fix something. All right, well, we have a few other items to talk about, so let's finish up our article for today.
Seam ripper. You can get these for less than a dollar, but you should probably spend more. A cheap ripper can be dangerous, much like a cheap dull knife. You'll use more pressure and you're more likely to slip and stab yourself. Fabric shears. Think about simple projects such as cutting off long sleeves. A self-locking spring action model is not only compact for storage, but it's also easier to use and will help avoid accidents. And note, you should use this just for fabric to keep it sharp. Needles. If you buy a pack of quality needles, you're good for life. Fabric shaver. It's a great tool to remove pilling, which can really age a garment.
All right, so we have seam ripper. What is a seam ripper?
I did not know such a thing existed. I once bought a pair of pants, I believe, and I was like, oh man, this back pocket actually doesn't open. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I discovered like, oh wait, there's threading that's putting it together.
Yep.
And what I feel like I found out was that, or I was told is, when they make the pants, they like sew some parts that are delicate and then they can wash it. And then when they get it to you, it won't like have extra rips or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, foolishly, I used a pair of scissors and I kind of poked a hole in the pocket.
Right.
But you can use a seam ripper instead.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, a lot of nice, like, suits and coats and stuff, the pockets are usually all sewn shut when you buy them, and then you'll need something to rip open the stitches.
I did not know that.
And so that's what you can use a seam ripper for. Or, you know, if you have kids and we were talking earlier about hems, right? You know, when they're younger, you might make their pants shorter, right? Because their legs are short. But as they grow, you're going to want to rip out those hems, right? You're going to want to extend the pants and make them longer.
Yeah, or if you're me and your sewing skills are not up to par, and you sew something really quickly and it's to be a temporary fix, but when you bring it to somewhere, or, you know, you have, like, your friend, Campbell, he can, like, sew it much better. You can use a seam ripper, undo that. It's like a eraser, basically.
Right, yeah. So the tip here, though, is to get a nicer one. You want to spend a little bit more money on a good ripper and not something that will cause you to slip and stab yourself. Right. Okay, and fabric shears. Fabric shears are basically scissors that allow you to cut cloth, right? And a self-locking spring action model is not only compact for storage, but it's also easier to use and will help avoid accident. What is a self-locking spring action?
Man, I have to refer to the definition here. It says it refers to a device that is gently opened using a spring, reducing the effort needed. Okay, so it kind of springs open on its own.
Right.
But also has a way to lock closed, I believe, is when they say self-locking. They're saying that it has a closed position
that will remain closed
so that it doesn't spring open at the wrong time and, you know, stab someone.
Yeah, and there is a good point here at the end of this section. It says, and note, you should use this just for fabric to keep it sharp. All right, so do not let your kids use it to cut paper or other things. Just keep your fabric shears just for cutting fabric, and then you will have no problems. All right, and needles. If you buy a pack of quality needles, you're good for life. What does that mean, that you're good for life?
You are set.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to get another pack.
Right. So you are good for life.
And it's a good point. If you're going to buy a thread, you should probably get some needles. I don't know that the thread's going to do you much good if you don't have any good needles.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. All right. And the last tip for today is the fabric shaver. And a fabric shaver is what?
It's a tool to remove pilling, which is those like little balls of fabric that end up on your clothes after you've had it for a while. I usually think of like sweaters in particular as getting pilly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in this. I didn't know such a thing existed, and I do love my sweaters, so I would like to learn about this tool.
It is actually very satisfying to use a fabric shaver, and you kind of go around your clothes and to see that stuff come off and collect into the little, you know, container. It's very I don't know, cathartic.
Oh, well, I'm sold. I gotta go find one.
Right. Like, so I never, for some reason, I didn't know what this is as well, but just basically think of it like a mechanical shaver that people use for their mustache or whatnot.
Right.
But then when I looked it up, I remember my mom having it as a kid, and I would play with it.
Yeah.
It's super cheap. You can get it at the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually it's in the shape of a curve or a square.
Right.
And you put like just AA batteries in mm-hmm. it. And like Campbell said, there's a little compartment, a little mm-hmm. tank to collect. It's transparent.
Yeah. I want one.
Yeah. It's actually very fun. And it's just basically a shaver, right? So for your clothes, right? And
yeah.
it'll just kind of, it'll collect little fuzz balls in the little container.
Much easier than picking it by hand or cutting it.
Which has been my technique up until this moment. You guys have just changed my life.
I know. This is a much cleaner, less abrasive way to remove the pilling.
Yeah, it'll definitely help to keep your clothes in better shape. All right, so we've had several items today. Which one is your favorite so far, guys?
Well, obviously, you know what my favorite is.
The fabric shaver. All right, Albert?
Gosh, I want one as well. I want a fabric shaver as well.
I think we should all just go to the store and get a fabric shaver.
I know.
All right, friends. Well, we have some more items to talk about tomorrow, so please be sure to come back and join us for day two of our article, Clothing Maintenance. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.